Before we open God's word, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee in this evening to bring our cares and concerns and lay them at thy feet. God, who is all wise and all powerful, to the one to whom nothing is too hard, we come to thee. We ask thee to help us put down the burdens of this life and to take on Jesus Christ and his yoke upon our hearts, upon our lives, that thy work and thy spirit may mold us and teach us through thy word. We thank thee for this blessed opportunity to be united in this house of prayer. And we pray, dear Lord, that we would, with one heart and one mind, look to thy word, look up to thee in faith, and ask of thee a blessing from heaven above that is pure and peaceable for the good of our spiritual man, and that thou would fill us with thy spirit, that we could go forth from this place to share thy good news with others. For we ask these things through Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, I desire that we would turn together to Isaiah chapter 12. Read the entire chapter together. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This very brief chapter that we have before us is just six verses of praise and worship to the Lord, thanksgiving, an expression of desire and will of servant of God to glorify the Lord and to bring attention and praise to his name. It's a beautiful chapter that speaks with great positivity in the midst of a book that is written to record the teachings of that Isaiah brought to the people that they would reject and ultimately receive judgment. In the midst of a book like that, we find this gem, this candle of praise and worship, of glory, and it is encouraging. It's uplifting. But just like a candle that gives out its light, it becomes more brilliant when you realize it in a dark room and see the brightness of that candle in contrast to what is going on around. And the question comes up. How is it that Isaiah can teach the people in that there's going to be a day that they're going to say these sort of things? What leads up to this praise and glory to the Lord and thankfulness for salvation and communion with the Lord? In the previous chapters, Isaiah speaks of a destruction that would come to the people from the nation of Assyria. They would come and they would destroy and scatter abroad the kingdom of Israel and nearly completely destroy the kingdom of Judah. And it was going to be a time of terrible pain and suffering. Yet, God intervened, and he spared Jerusalem. And had he not done that, we might not have this book before us. But we don't need to worry about what would have happened if God didn't do that, because he did. He intervened, and he sent the angel to destroy the army of the Assyrians right before they came to destroy Jerusalem. Israel and Judah were under attack by the enemy. They were in a time of darkness, a time of pain. And this is brought on by their enemy. And it is God and his mercy that comes, as it were, it would seem to us, at the last minute, but right on time, according to God's purpose and his plan, to extend his hand of mercy. And Isaiah speaks of a time that would be coming. He speaks in chapter 11 of a rod that would come out of the stem of Jesse, a branch that shall grow out of his roots, speaking prophetically of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the salvation that he would provide, of the Spirit that would rest upon him, the judgment that he would bring from the word of his mouth, his righteousness and his faithfulness, the new creation that he would bring upon, that he will bring upon this earth, and the unity and the peace that he brings between nations and between the children and the people of God. There's a newness in what the Lord will bring and in his promises. And this is the day. This is the day that Isaiah is speaking about in chapter 12. After going through an assault of the enemy to within the inch of the life of the nation of Israel and Judah, God spares them and extends his mercy. It is on a day like that that they were feeling the heat of the battle and the pressure of the enemy and the enemy's desire to destroy, kill, and steal and to leave for dead. But God, in his mercy, extended his hand of kindness. Do you know a day like that? Do you know how close we all have come each and every day to the temptations and the things that Satan would like to do to us if he could? If God did not extend his hedge about us, his sovereign will, that we would be protected from certain things, Satan would, if he had the opportunity, take our lives if he could. But there is a day. There's a day in which we recognize and see the beauty of the mercy and salvation of God. Oftentimes we don't realize how many things we are spared from day by day as we go through life, as we travel, as we experience things, and we don't know. But God knows each and every one of those things, that in his love and in his mercy, he has held back, that he has spared us from. We think that sometimes things are hard. And there are days that are difficult. And we feel that pressure and that attack. But when we realize the things that we've been spared of, the things that the Lord has maybe held back, maybe he won't reveal it, but he has kept his hand, his watchful eye upon us. In that sort of day, when we recognize the mercy of the Lord, we say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. There is a time when an individual can understand that the ways that they have walked in their youth, in their foolishness, in their sin, is deserving of death and of judgment. It's deserving of the consequences that it brings on. And when we are in that state of sorrow, of shame and guilt, and we read of the Comforter, the one who comes with balm for our soul, the one who is not afraid to come to us and pour in oil and wine for our wounds, Jesus Christ, our Savior, do we realize and see that it's his mercy that has come to us and it has come to comfort us? In a day of mercy and in a day of salvation, we can say with these that are hearing this word, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Perhaps in a time following a season of correction, of reproof, where the Lord applies chastisement, correction for our good, it feels as though the Lord perhaps is angry, but he is exercising his children in love, in discipline, to grow. We feel like we're cast out, but he is doing it for our good. And when that correction and time of proving has concluded, it's the Lord's good pleasure to bring his hand, his hand of comfort. When I have to discipline my children, it's not a pleasant experience for them. But quickly, I want them to know that their dad still loves them and extend a hand of comfort as they are learning their lesson. And sometimes they want to come, and sometimes they don't. How do we feel about the Lord's chastisement and correction? As difficult as it may be, it's God's desire to comfort us after those seasons, to help us grow, to help us learn, not to turn us away and push us back, but to extend his hand of comfort. And this is the experience, and this is the day that Isaiah is speaking of. A day after chastisement, when comfort means so much, when that closeness with God again is experienced and relished and appreciated, and we realize that God is good. And there's a desire upon the lips of this worshiper of God to tell others. And he says, behold, look at what is happening. Look at what is going on. This is what we should look to. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. God is my salvation. We are not our own salvation. And our works are not our salvation. Our experience or our circumstance is not our salvation, but our salvation is in the Lord. He is the one who provides. God is my salvation. If we would hold salvation If we would give credit to any, including ourselves, for salvation, to any but to God, we would be wrong, and we would be on shaky ground, and we would not be able to say, I will trust and not be afraid. Because we look at the strength of man, we look at the strength of and the consistency of our circumstances and the history of man, it's shaky ground. But the word of the Lord endures forever. His truth endures to all generations. His mercy endures forever. God is my salvation, and because God is my salvation, I have a firm foundation upon which I can trust and not be afraid. There is a decision being made here. Because God is my salvation, I will trust. I will not be afraid. Sometimes we look to God for help when we feel like we need Him. But the truth is, we always need Him. We always need to trust. We always need to be placing our cares upon Him and seeking His guidance. For our soul's salvation, as it says, God is my salvation. But it also says, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. My day-by-day strength is from the Lord. He's the one who, in times of prayer, in times of reading, in times of fellowship and meditation, He strengthens my inner man. He teaches me the ways that are pleasing to Him. He says, and He is my song, day by day. Not just, yes, He is our hope for eternity and to spare us from an eternity in hell. He is our salvation, yes, but He is our strength day by day. And He has called us to walk with Him, to commune with Him, to draw from His strength, just like a branch does to the vine. And to be for Him to be our song, to be our joy. That we, as we go through this life, and we do face the challenges, we do face the things that would be a temptation to make us afraid, a temptation to turn our trust to something else, that we would think upon the Lord and His goodness, and that we would break out into song, and that we would have a song in our hearts, and that we would remember the songs that we sang this past weekend, that the Lord would be our song, that He would fill our hearts with the joy of belonging to Him. And He says, He also is become my salvation. He's repeating it. And how precious it is. He also is become my salvation. The song of the convert as he or she learns to trust in the Lord and learns that that salvation has been extended to him or her, that is a time of great strength and great joy. That is a time of a song in the heart for the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. That is the day that we're speaking of here. A day when that is realized, that is important, that is valued. When reflection, not upon the news of the day, or how things might go in the world, or what this popular person or that popular person is doing, but reflection on the Lord. And what He has done for me, and how He is desiring to dwell within, and that my faith would be firmly planted upon Him, so that come what may, He could give me courage that I don't need to be ashamed of my faith or be afraid of what the world may do, but to have a strength and to have a song. And to have a testimony that is not afraid, but also will be willing to witness to it. So he says, behold, God is my salvation. This heart of this person that is expressing these things, when these experiences of God's mercy and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done and making us new, it's filling the heart. Overflowing with joy and strength. And he continues and says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In this land of Israel, it was dry, and it was a very refreshing thing to be able to have water We read of Isaac and his difficulty with the Philistines and getting wells, and how essential it is to have that water for life, and how essential it is for us to have the living water from Jesus Christ our Lord, without which we have no hope. How important it is for us to embrace and to take within us all that he is willing to give. He is willing to give abundantly of his Spirit, which Jesus says will flow from within. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. As we go through life and make various experiences where we draw from the Word, from fellowship with one another, and we learn more of Jesus Christ, when we encourage and challenge one another, do you understand? Are we walking uprightly? And we learn to walk closer to our Lord and Savior. It is as if we're drawing from these wells that are taking from the one aquifer, the one source, Jesus Christ. But these various experiences come and fill our lives. And isn't it a joy? Isn't it a joy when that does happen? Take notice of it. Pause and thank the Lord for it and appreciate it, because it is a very precious thing. It's something that this world keeps us so busy that we don't have time to recognize. But be thankful for the Lord, his word, for one another, and that we have each other while we do. And all of the ways that the Lord provides for us as we draw from the well of salvation. And it's an invitation to us to draw. Everything that we have is from the Lord. All of his blessings, but he invites us to partake. Sometimes the blessings are so close, but we don't take. Like the disciples, they were on the boat, and they were rowing, and they were in the storm, and they were struggling, but the Savior was there. They needed to call on him. Here it is. Draw from the well of salvation. You have the Word of God. You thirst and hunger for that righteousness? Read. Take time in prayer. He's not too far. He will come to the one who seeks him with a contrite heart, with meekness, and desires that God alone would be our salvation, our strength, and our song, and would fill us, because we often find we are so weak and so empty. May God be our source, our strength, and the one that satisfies our thirsts. He goes on to say, in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. There is a joy and an expression and an invitation that goes forth from one who experiences this, who takes time to relish it, to invite others to this joy, to call upon his name, to not be silent on the things that the Lord has done, to take notice of it, to make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This is all stemming from the truth that God is our salvation, that he can be our strength and our song. And that song comes out, it's expressed in various ways. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. although the truth of God and the beauty of his creation and his power is on display and expressed for all to know, many close their eyes to it. Many have the opportunity to hear, and they close their ears to it. It can be known. It's not something that's hidden. The Word is expressing to us and revealing to us who God is and what it means to trust Him, what it means to be transformed, to be made new, and what that day looks like. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. God is great. God is good. And he is greatly to be praised. Isaiah, in this very tumultuous time in the history of Israel and Judah, saw a vision of the Lord, that he was high and lifted up and seated upon his throne, and the angels glorifying and worshiping his name. The pillars of the temple in heaven shook at the worship. He got a glimpse of who God is. In the previous chapter, if you take time and read it, you'll get a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. And as a response to that, Isaiah is telling us, we cannot but proclaim, we cannot but praise the Lord and often give thanks to him. He is great. And that truth is so well known, but it is something for us to take hold of. Because when we feel that anxiety or the temptation to fear or uncertainty of the future, those are real fears when we are putting our trust in something that's shaky. But when we put our trust in the Lord, when we say, I'm not going to trust a man, I'm not going to trust my circumstances, or even myself, for my deliverance, for my inspiration, for my joy, but I will put my trust in God. No matter what I feel, or if it's convenient, or if it's easy. But make a conscious decision. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. This chapter is so short, but it contains beautiful verses of encouragement, blessings for us to meditate upon, to draw from, to reflect on, but then also to apply and make part of our daily walk. And I hope that with the Lord's inspiration, that he would speak to each of our hearts as I needed even this day, to remember not to be afraid, but to seek my strength and joy in the Lord. If one and all would do that, we would be blessed. And we would be a reflection of the children of our Father, ones who depend upon the Lord and give testimony that God is great and he does provide. May God use us in the capacity that he would see fit to reflect his glory and to bring praise to his holy name. Amen.
In the midst of darkness, a light of hope, a candle here, a short chapter, a chapter of hope, a chapter of light. And here it says in the second verse, and I believe that that message came very clear to all of us, is that God is my salvation. And I believe that it was laid out very beautifully tonight that it doesn't matter that what our circumstances are, God is our salvation. Whether we are surrounded by many people or whether we are lonely, God is our salvation. Whether we have much in abundance or whether we are living in extreme poverty, it doesn't matter. God is our salvation. And so we rejoice in that. He is our light, He is our salvation. And we know that because of that, because of the great things that He has done for us, and because we have salvation through Him, Isaiah continues on and he says, therefore, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. And so because we have salvation in God, we declare, we make a declaration, and we express that God is my helper, that God is my salvation. Through Him, I have life. That's an expression we have. And so we see this played out in the Acts of the Apostles, this very thing that we read about tonight. There were those that opposed the gospel as it was being spread out by the apostles. There were those that were opposed to that and tried to suppress it, but they made it very clear. The apostles made it very clear and said, there is salvation in none other than, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there is salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. So basically the apostles here are saying that Jesus Christ, through Him, is salvation. Just as we read there in Isaiah, God is my salvation. And so those that were opposed to the gospel were trying to stop this gospel, where the apostles were making a clear declaration that there is no salvation in anywhere else save in Jesus Christ. And then so when they were told to stop speaking the gospel, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so the apostles played out what Isaiah had written about earlier. We have salvation through God, through Jesus Christ. We have salvation through Him. And therefore, we cannot but speak the things of which Jesus Christ has done for us. The salvation that we have a hope, a lively hope, that our souls will live on for eternity. This is the light that we can show to the world. This is the gospel that we live out, that others would read. May God grant unto us that we would declare that our salvation is in God. Amen.